It's Sunday, the 10th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Nerlens Noel. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Call Medez. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like Call Medez, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor for a day. Of course, moneyball.com.au is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, doing AFL, NBA, NRL, A-League, Premier League, soccer, heaps of stuff over on Moneyball. And if you're not checking them out and you live in Australia or New Zealand, I do highly suggest that you do. We are going to be talking about the games in the NBA from Saturday. We're going to be previewing the games from Sunday. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, so
let's get to it.
Before we get into all that, though, I am joined by another of the winners of the Red Rock Listener Leagues, this time from the LaFonso Ellis division. I am joined by Darren Church. Darren, how's it going?
Good, Josh. How are you?
I'm okay. I could be better. As you would know, Darren, we had a bit of a disappointing day at the footy today. Had a big game. The Bulldogs just missed out, and our well wishes go out to Bulldogs captain Bob Murphy, who looks like he may have torn an ACL, and that could be the end of a sparkling career for the Doggies captain. Not a great night in the Lloyd House here.
No, devastating for Murph, but yeah, the boys showed good fight and yeah, almost got there in the end.
Bring it on next time. I'm pretty pleased that the last two winners that I've had on of the Red Rock Listen Leagues have been Bulldog supporters. I'm enjoying that trend immensely. I'm not sure the rest of them will go that way, but yourself and Simon supporting the right team in the AFL, even if we did go down today. Darren, you got the victory in the LaFonso Ellis division. Unlike the first two guys that we've spoken to, you didn't have Steph Curry, so you had to do it the hard way. Started off with pick 10 and drafted John Wall. And talk us through sort of how you went from there. Like, how did you see your team after the draft? Did you think that you were in a strong position, or did you have to really work hard to get through that and, you know, rise up the ranks with trades and free agency work?
Well, I went out with a plan. I wanted the bookends for the first two. So I wanted a true point guard with good assist numbers.
Yep.
And I also wanted a good center with rebounding and blocks. So with pick 10, I was hoping Wall would be there, but, you know, I was also tossing up if he was gone, then I'd probably have a chance at a Kyrie or someone like that first round. So very stoked to get Wall, just massive assist numbers and does it all. Good defensive numbers, good scorer. So then just had to back him up with good big. Went with Gobert, second round. Didn't quite show what I wanted through the year, and I struggled at times when he was injured getting rebound numbers, but towards the end he had a few big, almost 20 board games, and that really helped me out. So had those first two pieces in, and then the rest of the draft was pretty much best player that wasn't going to hurt me in any category. So I didn't want to dump any categories, or I wanted to be even across the board, give myself the best possible chance. So, that's how I went.
Now, look, a lot of people will put Rudy Gobert down as the biggest disappointment in fantasy basketball this season, but you've picked him at the top of the second round, and you've obviously come away with the championship. So it's clearly not the death knell on a team. But it requires some workarounds. And the combination that you did there, I did the exact same thing in a league. I got Wall at 9, and I got Gobert back in the second round in that league as well. So it's a pretty good pairing, because you're adding your field goal percentage, you're getting blocks, you're getting rebounds, you're getting assists, you're getting steals. And John Wall's, you know, bump in three-pointers this year was a bit of a surprise. So it kept you sort of middle ground in that one. When we look at your team, you didn't, at the draft, you picked Giannis pretty early. That worked out brilliantly for you. You picked him in round 4. Your Tyreek Evans, obviously a disappointment. But this, going through these and looking at these drafts with the winners, it goes to show that you take risks, but if you don't hit him, it doesn't matter. Like, you picked Nikola Mirotic in round 7, and we know that the struggles that he had at times. You picked Tim Mozgov in round 12, and he was, one of the worst players in the NBA this season. It didn't work out. You know, Evans, Mirotic, Mozgov, Jamal Crawford struggled for lots of the season. Emmanuel Mudiay had some big down patches. But as long as you can work around those things and make the moves at the right time, it's not the end of the world in a draft. I think that's what I'm trying to get to. So how often or how many players did you end up changing out of your team by the end of the season, do you think?
Obviously, I was hanging on to Evans for so long until he was officially ruled out. So he was taking up that IR spot most of the year. But pretty much one, two, three. Yeah, there's eight there. So pretty stable that I held on to.
Yep, so you got five guys changed. And I reckon that's probably about normal for most teams. Well, the big question is did you hold Mirotić all season or did you drop him and re-pick him up?
No, I held him. It actually fell pretty well. Once Tyreek was ruled out, then I had Gobert. He was out for a while. He was in the IR. But just as he came back, Mirotić went out. So he held the IR spot, and I just held on to him. And then he came good for me towards the end. And especially in the final round, I was up against Steph Curry-owner. Like, he'd had terrible injuries throughout the year with the rest of his team, but I needed those threes. And, him and I just picked up as many three-pointers as I could those last 2 weeks just to make sure to get those five cats that I needed.
Well, that's what, when you look at your team, with the final team that you had, you got Doug McDermott in there to give you that. You've got Bojan Bogdanovic in there to give you that. You've got Josh Richardson in there to give you those numbers, and that's really what it's about. And I can't stress this enough, if you're still going in playoffs, it's not about you're getting, let me get the best player. Like, what categories do I need? Like, you were narrowing down, I need threes. I'm adding guys just to get me threes. I'm going to lose categories. I know which ones I'm losing. I'm going to win categories. I know which ones I'm winning. Where are the ones that are in doubt? And just stream the shit out of it and just get as many guys into that category without costing yourself in other areas. But most of the time you can see, like, I've got a big lead in that. And the way that I like to look at it as well is I like to look at it sort of as a percentage base. Like, you might have 30 steals and your opponent might have 15 steals. And it's only 15 steals difference. But it's also double. It's like having 400 points as opposed to 200 points. It's a big, big margin. And yes, people can catch up with, you know, big six steal game. But generally, I look at it as a percentage. Like, am I 10% up here? Am I 20% up here? Am I 30% up here? Rather than going, I'm six blocks up, but it's, you know, 10 to 4 or something along those. It's like, okay, I've got a fairly steady lead there. As much as it can be eaten away, I tend to look at it that way. So I think that you approached it well, obviously. And got the victory. Was the final matchup a tight one?
In the end, it wasn't. I was sort of waiting. The guy had a lot of ads to make, and I was waiting that last week whether he's going to use them all, just dump all his players and try get closer. But in the end, I think he left about 7 or 8 ads on the table. So I was sort of holding my ads, just waiting for him to see, because it was, yeah, I thought he'd try and chase me in a couple of categories. I think assists was fairly close. There's a few percentages that could have gone either way. But yeah, in the end, pretty much led through those final 2 weeks. The semi-final, that was real tough, but managed to scrape through there thanks to a few injuries to the...
That's always a key.
I think it was Boogie Doo who I come up against. He had a lot of injuries those 2 weeks, so that helped me out. But it's good. But as you were saying before, like, injuries play a massive toll, and you've got to have luck as well.
You can come back from injuries, though. Like, it's not a complete... Look, sometimes it is, but you had Gobert miss a big chunk of the season. You had Mirotić in hospital for a big chunk of the season. Like, it's not impossible to win to win if you have some long-term problems with your team. Like, you can do it. And if you draft some stinkers in round 4 or round 6 or something like that, you can come back from it. You've just got to be smart about it. And I think that you're... Yeah, you didn't even finish the season on top of the regular season. You finished 4th. So you've come from 4th and got everything happening at the right time. And as you said, narrowing down, I've got to win 5 categories in the playoffs, and that's what you need to do. And that's, you know, you might be anti-punt, but there's no point being mediocre in 8 categories in the playoffs. You really need to go, this is where I can win, and it might change opponent to opponent, but you need to look at that with your ads especially. I am adding guys specifically for this category. And I know in one of my playoffs, I had Reggie Jackson, but I was so far up in assists. We'll see you later, Reggie. Like, I'll get someone else because I need to win rebounds and I need to win field goal percentage, and you're not going to help me there. So he can go. And I don't care if my opponent picks him up, because the assists aren't going to hurt me because I was 120 up or something with 3 days left. That's the way you've got to approach it, and that's exactly how you've done it here, Darren. So congratulations, and you've got yourself a spot in the Champions League next season.
Thanks, mate. Looking forward to it. challenge it'll be.
It should be a fun league. Looking forward to that one immensely. So far, well, we know everyone's in it, but we've spoken to Joey, Simon, yourself, myself, Matt. Matt Smith will be in it as well. So that's five of us. We'll talk to the other guys as we go through the rest of the season. And one girl, actually, Lisa Jacobson, won one of the leagues, so she'll be in that as well. So that'll be good as well. Now you're a Mavericks man, Darren.
Sure am, man.
How's that? Do you want to make the playoffs?
Oh, mate. Depends what day you ask me. I do, but I'm worried we're going to get embarrassed that first week, whether it's going to be the Warriors or the Spurs. As much as I love Dirk, we got nothing at the center position that's doing anything decent. And we're just chucking it up from outside three, trying to play the Warriors style of game. And, you know, but only hitting, I don't know, 35-40% of our threes, you know, unless Wes is on fire or, yeah, and that's what's keeping us in the game. So it's frustrating to watch. You know, it's great to see Justin Anderson and Measury and Power getting a bit more run, but, you know, when it gets tight, I just feel that Carlisle's just going to hook them out and get the experienced guys in there, and it'll hurt us long term. Like, I think our draft pick goes to Boston this year, actually, regardless of where we finish.
Well, no, that's the thing that I was getting to. If you make the playoffs, yes, you lose the pick. If you don't make the playoffs, you may lose the pick. But if you jump up into the top three of the lottery, you get the pick. So I think it's top, I'm going to say nine protected. So if you don't jump to the top three of the lottery, you're going to lose the pick. But if you make the playoffs, you've got no chance of retaining the pick. So you are going to get smashed by the Spurs and the Warriors, most likely. You know, anything can happen, but most likely it doesn't happen. If you don't get in the playoffs, you give Boston the pick, you know, 95% of the time, but there's a 5% chance you get a top three pick, and that would be massive for this team, who's very, very light on young assets, excluding Justin Anderson, who's looked fantastic. And if Chandler Parsons walks this offseason, do you see Anderson coming in and being the starting small forward from day one, assuming they don't grab someone in free agency? Do you think that he's done enough in this last stretch or gained enough of Carlisle's trust to be that guy?
Oh, absolutely. His ability on defense is huge with his blocks, and he's a good rebounder, shoots from the outside. Like, he's huge. I reckon he can slip straight into that. So
I absolutely agree with you. I think that if Parsons doesn't return, and look, he very well may, but Anderson is he's a pretty big body. He's an aggressive defender. He's an aggressive shot blocker as well for a small forward. He hits threes. He was a 44% shooter, I think, in college. I think I mentioned that the other day in his last season from three. He hasn't been quite that good this year, but it's taken him a while to get adjusted to the speed of the NBA, but he's looking pretty impressive lately. So I think the Mavericks will be happy to see that, because it's not often that they've had a draft pick really do anything. It's guys that they draft and trade, like Schroeder, like Kelly Olynyk or Jay Crowder, all those players that they've had in their hands and traded them away, and they've turned into pretty decent players. But so the Mavericks will be pretty happy to see someone like Anderson putting up some numbers and looking like he can be a decent starter in the NBA. Probably not a star quality guy, but someone who can hold down that position or hold down a sixth man position and be a rotation guy for a bit of time. So I think that's probably the biggest positive to come out of this season, I would say.
Oh, 100% agree with you. But it's a good and a bad thing having Mark Cuban as the owner. You know, you just never know what he's going to do. He always lives for the now, not later, which is hurting us now. As you say, we don't have many young guys in the team, or he's traded away draft picks for the now in terms of the Rondo trade, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I know we need some hurt to get back up there. It's a tough one. You know, I think if we win one more game, we're locked into the eight. So I know we play the Clippers tomorrow. I'm not sure who else we've got left, but yeah, it's going to be tight.
It is. It's interesting end to the season. Darren, good luck to your Mavericks, whichever way it goes. If they miss the playoffs, hope they get a top three pick. If not, hopefully they put up a fight against the Warriors or the Spurs, which I reckon they gave the Spurs a fight last year, or not last year, the year before, and they've given the Warriors a little bit of a challenge in some of the regular season matchups, so maybe they sneak a game or two, maybe they push it to six, who knows. There's some things that can happen, so you never know. You never know your luck. You might just get some entertaining games, and that might be just enough for the season. So good luck to the Mavericks, Darren. Thank you for joining me on the show. Thank you for participating in the league, and good luck for next year's Champions League, but not too much luck.
Thanks again, Josh. Take it easy.
Not a problem, Darren. Thank you for coming on. All right, if you want to be a part of the Red Rock Listener Leagues next season, more information will be released for that throughout the off season. Obviously, there'll be multiple ways to enter the multiple leagues, and you get a chance to jump into that Champions League. So Darren will be joining us in that next season. All right, let's get into the action from the NBA from Saturday. The monstrous line of the night. Paulie Millsap has been fantastic all season, really, but he was tremendous against the Celtics. It's always great as a big man taking on Boston because you can get some pretty big numbers. 31-16 for Millsap. He hit 5 triples. He had 3 assists, 2 steals, and 5 blocks, and he went 13 of 22 from the field. That is just an absolute monster of a line. I'd have to go back and have a look, but it's probably top 15 fantasy performances from the season, maybe top 10. Millsap over the last 2 weeks has been the number 2 ranked player. I don't think many people would have assumed that. He is a top 6, or he's ranked 6th over the last month, which is absolutely incredible, and he is 12th on the season. He is very underrated as a player. He constantly goes 10 spots too low in drafts and just puts up number after number after number. He's perilously close to averaging a triple one this season. He's at 0.9 triples, 1.8 steals, and 1.7 blocks. And those numbers are absolutely tremendous. Over the last month, he's at 16.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, 1.1 triples, 1.9 steals, and 2.8 blocks on 48 and 78%. Absolutely amazing numbers from Paul Millsap. He has been an underrated star in the NBA. He has been an absolute underrated fantasy player as well. And Millsap just getting it done for anyone who's still playing now and crushing it for DFS as well. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Matty Barnes of the Memphis Grizzlies. He's still only owned in 43% of leagues, so he's going to be around. But he played 40 minutes in the game for the Grizzlies against the Warriors, which they were perilously close to winning if it wasn't for the Warriors playing well, some sort of meltdowns, and Lance Stephenson thinking that he's Michael Jordan. Maybe they would have got the victory. Barnes went 24-15. He had 4 assists and 3 triples, hit all 5 of his free throws, and went 8 of 17 from the field. If he is around, he should be owned. There is going to be shooting issues, obviously. He's at only 38% from the field this season, and he's shooting now 36% over the last month. That is not ideal, but the 2 triples he's giving you, a steal, 0.7 blocks, 7.5 rebounds, 14 points, like, these are great numbers, and that field goal percentage is really hurting, and you need to be able to deal with that. So yes, he's the waiver wire line of the night. Do you add him everywhere? Well, if field goal percentage is tight, absolutely not, because he's going to hurt you, and he's probably going to cost you 1 or 1.5% over the course of these last few days of the season, and that might be enough for you to lose that category, and that's clearly not what you want at this portion of the season. So Matty Barnes is the waiver wire line of the night. The young gun of the night, of course, it's Karl Anthony Towns, who played 38 minutes and had 27-9, 2 assists and 2 blocks. Just a massive, massive field goal percentage, going 13 of 20 from the field. We know how much of a revelation Towns has been. He's ranked 17th on the season. He will almost undoubtedly go in the first round next year. I think if you're picking him in top 5, I will let you have him in the top 5. But at 11 or 12, it's a fair bet to get him. He's averaging 18 and 10, 1.7 blocks, 0.5 threes, 0.7 steals, 2 assists, 54 and 81. And we can see those threes going up to 0.7, those assists going up to 3 to 3.5 over the next year and a half. And even, I reckon, getting a steal a game is not going to be out of the question. So he could be a triple one center, which is phenomenal, and a 20 and 12 sort of player with 2.5 blocks on ridiculous percentages, and literally be the best player in the NBA. He has got that sort of potential. I have frothed Karl Anthony Towns enough this season. You don't need to hear me speak about him anymore. Just know that he is absolutely brilliant. The dud of the night, Jared Sullinger of the Boston Celtics, played just 11 minutes. He had 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 steal. And he has been an abomination over the last month, ranked outside the top 160 since Kelly Olynyk returned, averaging just 11-7. 0.5 threes, a steal a game, no blocks, poor percentages. He was amazing for a big chunk of the season, but really isn't at the moment, and obviously can be dropped. The Celtics just have too many options in that front court to guarantee him big minutes. When Olynyk was out and he was playing those bigger 27, 28 minutes a night, and Amir Johnson was really struggling, then yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. But Olynyk's back, Johnson's firing, Zeller's playing better, Yurepko's playing better. There's no place for Sullinger at this point. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens to Sullinger next season as a restricted free agent, where he goes, how much money he gets. There's going to be a lot to a lot of interest to me is to see what they do, because I reckon he's gone from Boston. I want to see them giving his minutes to Kelly Olynyk. Whether that happens or not is another story, but that's the way that I would like it to go. But he has been a bit of a disappointment. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Saturday's games. At point guard, Dame Lillard went for 44.1, and with Rajon Rondo out, Darren Collison dropped just a lazy 43 in the farewell to Arco Arena in Sacramento. Collison, I'll say this once, I'll say it again, he is a better player than Rajon Rondo. If you're in a dynasty league, get him. Just add him, because he's owned in a few leagues, and he should be owned in all leagues, but he might be able to acquire him at a cheaper price now, because I do think that, look, Rondo might be back in Sacramento. He might not be. But on the chance that he's not, you've got a top 40, top 45 player on your hands in Collison. And that's not easy to find, just potentially sitting around or, you know, available for a trade for a guy who's like ranked 80th or something like that. The long-term, look, Rondo's not going to be a long-term guy. The new coach who comes in at Sacramento might be like, okay, this guy's getting 10 assists a game, but who cares? Everything else is shit house. And run with Collison more. That's a possibility. It's the king, so that probably won't happen. But it is a possibility. I do think that Collison is a better player than Rondo, and I'd be banking on that and trying to get him at a bargain price, because it is going to be a top 50 player that you have on your hands with Collison once he is unleashed from the shackles that is Rajon Rondo's stat padding ways. The shooting guard, Archie Goodwin, 31.1, and J.R. Smith, another big game for him, 38.2, the GPP specialist, J.R. Small forwards, Matty Barnes, 47, and Rudy Gay, who had a real, real rough patch throughout March, has turned it on over the last couple of weeks, 49.1 for Gay. Power forward, Millsap, 65.7, and Draymond Green went for 46.2, and Mace Plumlee, who's turned in a couple of nice ones in a row here, 42 points for him. Basically, give Plumlee close to 30 minutes, and you're going to get big numbers. Give him 22, and of course, the numbers are going to drop down, but he's been productive in nearly every game that he's had a big role in. The total of that lineup would have been 406.4, and you would have been pretty wrapped to get that, obviously, because you would have won yourself some significant money. Now it's time for a quick word from our sponsor for today's podcast, which is Loot Crate. I'll put that up on the screen for you guys watching the video. Loot Crate, it's a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and each month you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Each month they have a different theme. This month's theme is Quest, and it's bringing all items from things like Labyrinth, Vikings, Harry Potter, Uncharted 4, all together, and the guys at Loot Crate are picking it for you. They're going through, these are some good things we think our people would like. These are great items that we can give you, and things that are exclusive, and you won't find everywhere else. So make sure you're looking at Loot Crate, heading across to lootcrate.com/redrock. So don't just go to lootcrate.com, that's great, but go to lootcrate.com/redrock so it knows that you come from this podcast. And we've got a coupon code. You use that coupon code, which is redrock, and you save $3 off any new subscription. Might not seem like a lot, but it's a 15% discount, so that's pretty handy. And it's a great gift idea as well. Each month, this theme is here. I said it's Quest this month. It disappears after the month. After the 19th of the month, it's gone. You're not ordering that one again. You get the new one for the next month. And some of those exclusive items you won't see again. So check out lootcrate.com/redrock. Use the promo code redrock and get yourself $3 off. Had a question come through on YouTube from Kevin. And if you do want to tweet at me any questions while the show is going live, it is at redrock_beeble. But Kevin says, what is my name on Moneyball? My name on Moneyball is my same as my Twitter handle, redrock_beeble. I haven't played on Moneyball for a little bit of time, to be honest, because a lot of the time when lineups are locking, I'm actually working, and it's hard to make the late switches that I need to, and I'm more focused on actually getting the information out to you guys who are playing on FanDuel, on Moneyball, on DraftKings, on whatever site you're playing on. So a lot of the time, I don't want to just be putting in lineups and then not having the chance to check them. But if I get back, I'll probably play a little bit more in the playoffs. My username is redrock_beeble on Moneyball. All right, let's get into these games now and start looking at them in a bit more detail. There were 6 games on Sunday, so I'm going to bring up those box scores on the screen now. Here we go for you guys who are watching along at home. All right, I'll bring it up so I can actually get along with it at the same time. All right, the first game, the Phoenix Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans. It promised a lot of fantasy goodness. It delivered to a degree, but the Suns got the blowout victory, which is great for Celtics fans. Knocks the Nets into that outright third position. Mirza Teletovic, just 29 minutes for Mirza. 22-5-4 with four triples and a block. He is a guy that is putting up tremendous numbers. He's scoring a lot. He gets some rebounds. He hits some threes, but that's the main value that he gives you, is points and threes. But he's doing it in pretty big bunches at the moment, so you've got to look to him if he's available. No one played over 30 minutes for the Suns because they had themselves in the rare position of getting a buyout victory. Archie Goodwin came out of nowhere for 24-3-3 with three triples. 25 minutes for Archie. I wouldn't be banking on that happening too often. Well, Dev Booker played just 16-4-5 with a block and a three in 27 minutes. Actually, really good shooting from Booker as well, going 7 of 11. PJ Tucker, 7-8-4, but the three steals and the eight rebounds are why you look at Tucker. You don't expect him. Look, sometimes he'll have a big shooting night, but you don't bank on him having just a massive scoring night, although he has been doing that. But again, that is not why you own PJ Tucker. Tyson Chandler, just 21 minutes, 13-5-3, productive. Alex Len, 10-11, and Ron Price started and didn't do much, but I said this many times, you own Ron Price to get assists and steals. Now, he only got one assist, but the two steals are key there. He got a three as well, so not all is lost. Not a terrible night, but Price has value in 12-team leagues, as dirty as a sentence as that is. John Lua went for 8-8 in his 20 minutes. On the Pelicans, they just don't have enough players, and their two worst players are Omer Asik and Kendrick Perkins. Everyone else is getting big minutes. The only problem I have here is my boy Alexei Zhintsev hurt his shoulder. Let's hope it's nothing serious and he can play down the stretch here, but he only got 23 minutes in and went 4-4 with a block on 2 of 9 shooting. He would have been better in most cases than this on most nights, but the shoulder injury is a concern, and let's hope that he doesn't miss any time. But the backcourt and the wing is where it's happening for New Orleans. Tony Douglas, 23-2-5 with three triples. Jim Ennis, 18-6 with three steals and two triples, and he's been tremendous lately. I recommend getting a look at him in basically all leagues. Jordy Hamilton on the bench with Ennis starting. Look, a really productive night, but he hasn't been quite as good lately. 13-5-1, but a 3-2 steals on a block, and that's where he can give you value. Decent scoring, threes and steals. Lukey Babbitt off the bench as well, 17-9 with 34 points. No, didn't have 34 points, he had 34 minutes. He didn't hit a three, which is a bit of a surprise for Babbitt. I like him in leagues. Tim Frazier, 11-8-7 with a steal and a three. Obviously, I like what he can do. And Dante Cunningham, I don't like him that much. 13-1-2 in his 30 minutes. Well, Omer Asik had one shot and missed it in 13 minutes and had three rebounds. He is putrid. And Kendrick Perkins went 1-4. At this point, Kendrick Perkins is a better player than Omer Asik, and that should be the death knell for anyone's career. Boston and Atlanta. Amir Johnson, 14-8, a steal and four blocks. Now, the play of Amir Johnson is factoring into the stinkiness of what Jared Sullinger is doing. It's really tough to rely upon any of these big men in Boston, though, because Brad Stevens, he's got the weapons at his disposal. And he'll go, well, you know what, Amir, you play 25. Oh, you know, Kelly, you come in. And Tyler Zeller, you come in, you do something. Yonis Cherepko, you do something. Or maybe Sully will give you 27 today. And it's really tough to rely on. Over the last month, he's a top 85 player, Amir Johnson. Not from bulk scoring, of course, averaging just 8.2 points, but it's the 8 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, half a steal, and 68% shooting that he's really helping in. At this point, he's not an ownable, must-own guy. He's a 14-team guy. But in 12s, you want some blocks, you want some rebounds, you want some field goal percentage. It's hard to go past Amir Johnson, but the riskiness is there associated with him. Marcus Smart, starting to look good. 19-5-3 with four triples and a steal. Now, you don't get him for scoring. You get him for threes, assists, steals. That's where he can provide value. I do like Marcus Smart in certain situations. And again, like I was speaking with Darren, it's not about adding the overall best player. You know, what do you need? Is he the best steals guy out there? Is he the best threes guy out there? Who's the best guy to give me four and a half rebounds and assists? He could fall into that category. Avery Bradley, 15-4-2 with three steals and two triples. A nice night there. And Jay Crowder bounced back from a down performance to go 16-7-2 with two steals. Isaiah Thomas, yeah, not so good with the shooting, 6 of 19. He was 16-2-6. And Evan Turner went 11-7-5 and has actually been really, really impressive this year. And he's a guy that is not must-own, but should be definitely looked at in majority of situations. Kelly Olynyk, 19 minutes for Olynyk, 6-2-3, a block, a three. I just want this guy to be absolutely unleashed at some point in the near future, because I think he can be a real animal, fantasy-wise and NBA-wise as well. Hasn't been a great situation for him in terms of just competition for minutes, and he hasn't broken out enough, but I do still have a lot of faith in Kelly Olynyk. Tyler Zeller came off a massive game and played 5 minutes and had 3 points, and that is the concern with Brad Stevens' big men. Kent Bazemore was probable heading into this one for the Hawks. Lucky he wasn't. Lucky he played, because he was tremendous. 21-5-3 with 2 triples, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Bazemore is only owned in 42% of leagues, and you know I've been a massive... Hater is not the right word, because I hate that word. But he has been someone that I've been very much like, how is this happening? This guy is no good. But over the last 2 weeks, he is a top 50 player again, and it's not all fueled by ridiculous shooting, which his performance at the start of the year was. In the last 2 weeks, he's giving you 12 points a game, but it's the 1.2 triples, 2.2 steals, and 1.2 blocks that's really driving what Bazemore is doing. Now, the blocks is unrealistic, but he is averaging 0.7 of those over the last 2 months, so he has improved that portion of his game. The free throws have regressed significantly down to what they were over his career, and his field goal percentage has dropped back as well, and that's caused the big drop-off in Bazemore's game, but it also might mean that he's available to pick up. And there is Thabo Sefolosha there, there is Tim Hardaway there, who might cut into some of his minutes, but Bazemore looks to be back in the good graces of Mike Budenholzer and putting up the numbers again. Jeffy Teague went 24-5-7 with 3 triples, and Den Schroeder went 15 points, 3 threes, and 7 assists in 20 minutes. You know what I'm going to say about Schroeder. It's great if you're in a deep league. Al Horford, 12-8-6, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. I think he's hit more threes this season than his entire career combined, or if not very close to it, been tremendous. And Thabo Sefolosha with a very Thabo Sefolosha line. 1 point in 30 minutes, but 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Again, at this point in the season, find out what you need and deal with it, because his 1 point may have made zero difference to that category if you've got no concerns about it. But the 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks could have been tremendously valuable. And he has the ability to do that. Kyle Korver was terrible. 5 points in 26 minutes, and his season has been a write-off. And Tim Hardaway dropped just 3 in his 11 minutes. The Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies. Draymond Green, 23-11-4, 2 threes, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 10 of 14 shooting. He has been tremendous this season. If you're listening live, where do you think Draymond Green is ranked for the year per game, 8-cat leagues? Interested to know if people have any concept of where he is currently ranked, because he's obviously had a pretty good season, but I'd like to know if you are. There's not many of you watching live, because I am doing this one quite late, but if you have any idea where Draymond is ranked for the season, please tweet at me at redrock_beeble. I'll mention it a bit later on in the show. Klay Thompson, 25-3, 2 triples, a steal, a block, and Steph really struggled with his shot. 7 of 22, still had 17, 9, and 8 with a steal and 3 triples, so not a complete write-off, but 3 of 14 from 3 is horrific for Steph. Harry Barnes, 14, 2, and 1, 2 triples, another good shooting night from Harry, really looking strong at the moment, and I talked about him at length on yesterday's podcast, I think it was. He is going to be a very interesting player for next year. No Andy Bogut in this one. So Festus Ezeli got the start. He went 9-4 in 18 minutes, but it's really tough to own him at this point. And the Warriors could be resting a couple of guys against the Spurs, but it's Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, and Leandro Barbosa who may be out in the Spurs game on Sunday. Not much happening on the bench here. 5 points to Iggy. Spates had 6. Livingston had 6. And the rest of the guys did not score. For the Grizzlies, Xavier Munford played 30 minutes as the backup point guard, while Jordan Farmar just the 19. Lemtech, who is watching along live, says, is Draymond 6th? No, he is not 6th. He is lower than that. Keep it going. Munford, 30 minutes, 8-7-4 with 3 steals and a block. Now, his offensive game is pretty poor, but he can get some assists, he can get some steals, he can get some blocks, and that might be something that you can use at this point in the season. Remember, it's about... That's the last thing I'm going to say, I promise. It's about getting what categories you need, nothing more. The season, he is averaging 0.9 steals in just 15 minutes a game. And that translates, if he gets 30 minutes, you're talking about a guy who could potentially be at 2 steals a game. You know, the offense is terrible. He might get you 10 points, but he could hit you over a three, hit you 1.5 threes, maybe get you 3 or 4 assists. But the steals is really where it's going to come in from Mumford. As for Farmer, really tough to own him. He did have a triple one, but not a lot else. Lance Stephenson played 38 minutes with our Tone Allen out. He went 13-2-0. There is really, it's really hard to own Lance at this point in the season, unless we're talking deep stuff. Zeebo struggled. He was 6 of 19 for 12 and 7 in 27 minutes. Not his best night. And Jermichael Green has fallen off completely. 7, 4 and 2 in 14 minutes. That is two putrid performances from Green in a row. The return of PJ Hairston seems to be impacting Green to some degree, as they don't go as they push Matt Barnes down a position, and that's limiting some of Green's chances. So any standard league team that is owning Jermichael Green, they're probably not still playing, but I reckon you can do a fair bit better than that. The Chicago Bulls, what are they doing? They pull off the victory against the Cavs, keep themselves with a, I thought they were eliminated, but no, they've got a glimmer of hope for the playoffs. LeBron, 33-7-3 with four triples and a block. J.R. Smith got red hot, hitting seven threes for 24-6-4. He has been really, really poor, J.R. Smith for big chunks of the season, but is coming on red hot at the moment. In fact, over his last 2 weeks, he's hitting 3.7 triples a game. He's at 2.7 for the season, so he's had tremendous value in that category, but he's been a negative in any other area apart from the steals category. Both percentages have been poor. He's not scoring, he's not rebounding, he's not getting assists. He has been very, very tough to own most of the season, but when a guy is hot like this, and we talk for DFS as well, he is tremendous tournament option and tremendous. I need threes. Who can get me six threes? I don't want someone who's going to get me one three a game. Who can give me seven and then zero? That's the sort of guy that I want if you're behind. And there's a big difference. Like, J.R. Smith might have you one game with seven and then not score, hit a three again in his next six. If someone else, like, Matthew Dellavedova, for example, might hit 1 3 every game. Now, with 4 or 5 days left in the season, do you want the guy who's going to give you 1 3, maybe two, or the guy who's going to go 0 and 7 if you're down in that category? You've got to take a punt on the guy who's going to give you, who's going to get the big option, who could hit 10 threes in a game. It's going to be someone like Smith. So that's the way that I'd like to look at it at this point in the season, when slow accumulation is not going to work with 4 days left. You might have two games left from a player. Streaming through might work as well. But if you just really look, I'm 4 or 5 down, I'm not winning any other category, but it's threes, it's there, I could potentially win, I'm still a bit down. Get a guy who can drop a big bunch of them, and that's going to work more in your favor. Kevin Love went 20 and 13 with four triples, and Kyrie had 11, 4 and 8, and two steals. And both Love and Irving were pretty poor from the field. And interestingly, LeBron, Love, and Irving all took 17 shots. LeBron hit 13, Love hit 6, and Irving hit 5. So a little bit of a difference in efficiency. Tristan Thompson played 31 minutes, only scored 3 points, but the 8 rebounds and 3 blocks is fantastic for what he does. He's back starting, and he has value in the right spot. Tim Mozgov, 2 points in his 8 minutes, while Dellavedova went 3-2-3 in his 27. He's obviously a deeper league sort of guy. Iman Shumpert sat this one out with a knee complaint. Jim Butler had a pretty good game, 21-2-6, 3 steals and 2 triples. Still, the percentages are really hurting him. He's been a frustrating guy for most of the season. Cristiano Felizio, off the bench, played 23 minutes. Fred Hoiberg used him down the stretch in place of Pau Gasol. He went 16-5. He had an assist. He had 2 blocks. He hit all 7 of his shots. That is obviously unrealistic to happen again. But does this, we've heard this talk that Pau is basically not coming back to the Bulls. Does Hoiberg just go, all right, Pau, you can play, start and play 25 minutes, and we're going to see what we got from Felizio. And maybe he gives me 2 blocks a game for the last couple. That might work. So deeper league guys, look at what Felizio can do. Nick Mirotic, he was not awesome. He was not terrible, but 13-6 with 3 triples, a steal and a block is still a pretty bloody good fantasy line. Powell had 11-12 with a steal and a block as well, so same goes for him. And Mike Dunleavy has done nothing all year. Derek Rose was bad, 10-2-3, and Bob Porter's played 29 minutes and went 6-10 on a 3 of 10 shooting. Not the best night for Bob. There's a lot more better things for him in the future. It's just not happening this year. Taj Gibson won't likely play again this season, and I doubt that Etuan Moore will, so they will give more minutes to Justin Holiday, a few deeper league players. Holiday went 7-2-4 with 2 steals and a block. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Portland Trailblazers. Nemanja Bjelica has really come on strong here lately. He was 11-10. He had 2 triples, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block in 30 minutes. Absolutely fine with them giving him minutes and seeing what they can get from him. You know that I'm not, I haven't been a big fan of Tayshaun Prince this season. I haven't been a big fan of Sam Mitchell this season. Absolutely fine if giving Bjelica minutes out there, even if it's at the expense of Gorgui Dieng. He's been a top 100 player over his last couple of games, and it's fueled by a 63% shooting from the field. So that's a little bit unrealistic, but the rebounding is nice. The threes are nice. He's doing a little bit of something. but it's not enough for most 12s and probably your 14 team leagues maybe. And this is the part of the thing that was on him at the start of the season, is he was fueled by some massive, ridiculous shooting numbers. Now look at it, and the last 2 months he's at 57% from the field, so it's not too unrealistic, but his season numbers are at 46. So it shows how bad he was throughout that December stretch. After a pretty hot start in November, he hasn't been able to recoup his field goal percentage, which really, really brought him down. His free throws are well up as well, 71 for the season, but over the last 3 months he's at 82. So he's finding his feet, and that happens to young players, especially guys transitioning from a different sort of game in Europe. Rick Rubio, just the 5 points, but 4 rebounds, 11 assists, and 4 steals. That helps a lot. Gorgui Dieng, 7-3 with 3 blocks and a steal in 24 minutes. And Zach LaVine, not his best night, 10-3, while Wigo had 23-3-1, and not good when he goes 9 of 22 from the field. Shabazz also struggled, 12 points, not much else, bad shooting. On the Blazers, Dame Lillard, 31-3-7, 4 triples, and Mace Plumlee went 15-15 with a steal and 2 blocks in 32 minutes. I just would like to see them give him big minutes. I really think that he can be a tremendous piece for them moving forward. CJ, 21-2-7 with a 3, and Al-Farouq Aminu, the model of inconsistency, 10-3-1 with a block and 2 triples. So he's giving you the threes. We know the defensive numbers can come. He is someone to own if you want those categories. Eddie Davis, 7 rebounds, no blocks, but he is a field goal percentage and rebound monster off the bench. And Mo Harkless, probably his worst game as a starter, just 5-3-1, a triple and a block. I'm still holding him, though. I still think that he can be a top 70 guy over the remaining stretch of this season. The last game of the night was the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. Russ Westbrook, 24-5-10. Kev Durant, 31-6-8 with 4 triples. And Serge Ibaka had 14-8 with 2 threes and 2 steals. Kevin Durant took 29 shots and hit 11 of them. I don't think that'll happen all that often moving forward, so count your lucky stars if you're going up against Durant and he just tanked their field goal percentage. Andre Robertson, 6-4 with a steal and 2 blocks. And Enes Kanter, just doing what he does, 11-6. He hit 4 of 7 shots. He was only 2 of 4 from the line, which is a bit unusual for him. But Kanter just getting it done in those categories. Steve Adams, 6-8 with a steal and a block. And Randy Foy continues to be miserable, 5 points in his 19 minutes. On to the Kings. No Rajon Rondo, as I mentioned. No Omri Caspi. No Marco Bellinelli. Collison went 27-5-8 with 4 triples. Gay went 24-8-3 with 4 steals and 2 blocks and a triple. Big nights from those guys. And Boogie Cousins, in his final game for the season, just... he went out in true Boogie style. He went 7 of 24 from the field. And he went 1 of 4 from the free throw line. He's hurt your percentages all season and just did it one more time. He is done for the season, Boogie. He will not play again. So, obviously, he can be dropped if he's not on your can't cut list. And can I stress again, please don't play with can't drop lists or can't cut lists. They are terrible. They need to go. Do not play with those. Willie Cauley-Stein started, only played 21 minutes, but he will get close to 30 now that Cousins is gone. 4-4 with 3 steals in 21, so he's going to be a rebound and defensive stats guy. Seth Curry should also play some big minutes down the stretch. 20 points, including 6 triples, 2 rebounds and 3 assists. Going to be a real nice scoring, assists, and 3-point option in most leagues. And Kostas Koufos will have value in these two as well. He only played 17 here, went 8-4 with a block, but he's going to be a 12-8 with 1 to 2 blocks sort of player on pretty decent field goal percentage. Jim Anderson, 24 minutes as a starter, 5 points, he's terrible. And Ben McLemore is also terrible, apparently, 4 points in 17 minutes for Benny Mac. All right, we are going to take a quick break now in the show. I'm going to be back after that. We're going to hear a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Sunday's action.
While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come and now, me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus let you know you can't see what I see. Just like a moment in the sun. This formula racks on numbers.
games from Sunday. And of course, there's early games, there's late games. So check your contest to see which games are actually a part of that contest. You don't want to be scouring and assembling lineups and then going to enter it and realizing that those games aren't included. The first one is the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards. I would be stunned if John Wall plays down the stretch here. Stunned. He's currently questionable. Stunned. I don't think there's any chance that he gears up for this one. So Ramon Sessions, who's averaging 29.5 points across his last three at 4,200 in a real good matchup, he becomes an option. Johnny Wall at 9,400. I'll find better point guard options than him, even if he does play. But Sessions should be awesome. 8,000 for Kemba Walker. I think he's in a pretty decent spot here. If you're spending up on point guards, he's probably the one to go for me. He's averaging 41 across his last five. And without John Wall in there, replacing him with Kemba Walker, the defense is obviously not quite at the same level. The shooting guards, Brad Beal's at 6,000. Without Wall, I do enjoy him here. He's averaging over 31.5 across the last five. And at 6,000, that's pretty decent value. So all aboard the Beal train here. Courtney Lee, Jeremy Lin, I feel like you need someone to be out for them to really succeed. And as for the other backup guards on the Wizards, Allen Anderson, Garrett Temple, Jarrell Eddy, Marcus Thornton, don't really think you're going to be doing much with those guys. Small forwards, Otto Porter at 53. He's been struggling a little bit, but I don't mind using him in a tournament. I think he's a real bounce-back option here. He's only averaging 23 across the last five games, but I reckon we could see a 30-pointer from Porter here. He does struggle a little bit when Wall's not firing. Nick Batum at 7,500. Defense-wise, Porter's been pretty good lately, and the Wizards in general on the wing. So 7,500 for Batum, you need 35 points. And look, he's been fantastic against the Wizards this season, averaging 44 points against them in the last three. So that might, you know, sway you that way. But this game could also be over quickly, and the Hornets might be like, you know, Nick, you just take a seat and let's not get hurt before the playoffs. That's a possibility too. So I don't mind him, but I'm not smitten. The power forwards, Marvin Williams at 5,600. He's been up and down, I think, is probably the best way of saying it. He feels like a 26 to 27 pointer, and that's not awesome at 56. It's not bad. It's not awesome, though. Markieff Morris at 5,800. I'd be happier using Markieff, to be honest. He dropped a big 37 burger in the last game. Yeah, 31 points across his last five. I think he really wants to make an impact for this team down the stretch, and he's in a position where he can do more of that when he's not going to be preserving his body for anything. Nene has been putting up decent numbers, but at 4,100, he needs to be at 37 for me to really care. And Frank Kaminsky, with everyone healthy, at 3,800. Look, he's been good, averaging 22.5, but it's not enough for me to go, you know what, I think that Frank's in a great spot here. Jared Dudley, JJ Hickson. Ooh, I just mentioned JJ Hickson's name. That's enough to move on to the centers. Let's talk Marcin Gortat, and is he someone that we have a look at? Well, we obviously have a look at him, but is he worth using? He's at 6,300. The last three against Charlotte, he's dropped 32 points. Pretty good. His salary's dropped by 300. Also pretty good. He's averaging a fantasy point per minute over his last five. But what minutes is he going to get? He'll probably get 27, and that's not enough. So he's a stay away for me. Cody Zeller, yeah, I like him. Not fantasy stat producing at the moment. And Al Jefferson, well, been really good. Can't take it away from him. Averaging 30 across his last three in just 22 minutes. But I can't put faith in it happening again here. The Clippers and the Mavericks. The Clippers should have all their resting guys back, so that'll put a pin in my Cole Aldrich balloon. Unfortunately, we know how good he was in that, how good he's been all season for standard leagues, especially with that ability to provide defensive stats. But his DFS value is kaput once DeAndre Jordan is back. At point guard, Chrissy Paul is at 9,400. Just feels a touch expensive. The Clippers are locked in. They're not playing Chris Paul 36 minutes. He'll play limited playing time, and that's not going to be enough for me to get interested. Darren Williams is questionable. He might return, but at 6,100, not sure I'd be using him at that sort of salary. Austin Rivers, 3,800, probably not. And JJ Barea, he's questionable as well. It all depends on if Williams is out, but 6,400 for Barea is making it tough to use him. That's he was great when he was at 5,000, 5,500, but 6,400 is a pretty tough sell on JJ Barea, in my opinion. Now, if Williams is out, if Barea is out, Ray Fatface Felton, who dropped 40 in the last game, he's at 4,800. He is absolutely someone that I'd be keen on using. He just needs to crack 25, and then it's all gravy on top of that. So Ray Felton is a guy that I would look at if those other two injuries don't go their way. The shooting guard position, I don't imagine these Clippers guys are going to be playing their full allotment of minutes, so that goes for JJ Redick and Jamal Crawford. Not a lot of love there. Wes Matthews at 5,000. Terrible matchup for him. He's been good on occasion, but not awesome. His best game in the last five is only 28 fantasy points. Not someone that's high on my list. Devin Harris gets a bump if Williams and Barea are out. He's at 3,800, so he's a great tournament option in that situation. The small forwards, Luke Marmute, he could play 54 minutes and still struggle to crack 15 fantasy points. So he's obviously not going to be much of an option. Justin Anderson, though, 4,200, dropped a casual 37 in the last game. It's a shit matchup for him, but at 4,200, it almost makes him matchup proof. He just needs to get you 22 or 23, and that's what his average is across the last five. Absolutely fine with using Justin Anderson. Jeffy Green, no, thank you very much. And Wes Johnson at 3,700. He'd need a couple of guys out for me to really get too involved with him. Power forwards, Blake Griffin, he's not playing 30-plus minutes. No, we're not using him. What about Big Dirk? He's at 6,700, and he's been poor, averaging just 23 points across his last five. His highest score has been just 30. He's been good against the Clippers. The last three, he's giving you 33.5 points, but at 67, I want more than that. So he's not someone I'm really interested in. Dave Lee, Charlie Villanueva, Jeff Ayers, Dwight Powell, not a lot to like. The centers, Zaza at 3,500. Maybe. This is all stab in the dark for these Dallas centers. Salah Mejri and Zaza Pachulia. Which one of them is going to put up decent numbers? The answer is probably neither. So I reckon they're a stay away. DeAndre Jordan at 8,000 won't get enough minutes. They're not playing him 36. I'd be shocked if they played him 36. And he needs those 36 to get you 40 fantasy points at 8,000. Just not going to happen. And Cole Aldridge, he's at 4,400. They rose his salary. Don't know why. Jordan will play, and that'll mean that Aldridge will go back to being an awesome daily changes seasonal league guy, but not a DFS option, unfortunately. The Lakers and Houston. Now we should be talking about some fantasy value here. Both teams with some pretty putrid defenses. There's bumps all over the place. Let's look at the point guards. D'Angelo Russell has been pretty good lately. He's averaging 5,300. He's not averaging that. That's his salary. Let's try again. He's averaging 24 across his last five, which is not awesome. Pat Beverly is a factor. But Beverly has struggled to even get to 25 minutes lately. So, you know, point guards, the defensive ease ranking against them is not as big as what it was prior. So I don't mind using Russell at 5,300. Pat Bev at 5,200, not that keen. He's just not getting the minutes at the moment. Marcelo Huertas at minimum salary. He's got an opportunity sometimes to put up a 25er. I'm just not keen on here. Jim Harden, 10,600, lock it in. You are going to get 48 to 50 points out of him. He's that's just what he's going to do. Kobe, 5,100. His last three against the Rockets is giving you 35 points. Just think about it for a second, how bad the Rockets are to allow Kobe to get 35 on average across the last three. The ease for Kobe is pretty good. He is a nice tournament option. He's going to have the greenest of green lights, and that just could mean that one night a couple of the shots fall and he hits 30 and then gives you 36, 37 DFS points. Good tournament play. Jordy Clarkson at 5,400. Just not... look, the matchup's good. I don't know. I think it's an okay option. I think he's okay. I don't love him. We think he probably can get to that 5X sort of value just... Small forwards, Trev Ariza, 5,800. Lakers bump in full effect here. He's averaging 30 across the last five. Dropped a nice 41 in the last game. Absolutely fine using Trev. He's getting 40 minutes a game, basically. Mick Beasley, as up and down as they come. Tournament, and that is literally it. Corey Brewer, Ryan Kelly, KJ McDaniels, Meta World Peace. Not much to like there. Power forwards, let's look at Julius Randle. Rockets bump. The Rockets bump actually has been decreased lately, so power forwards are not getting as big of a bump in their stats as what they were to start the season. Randle at 6,400, that feels like it's just right on his limit. Not interested for me. 41 for Clint Capella, no. Larry Nance, he might rest Larry Nance. This is the first game of a back-to-back. The last two back-to-backs, he's sat one first leg and he's sat one second leg. We assume he's going to miss one of these next two games. We just don't know which one it's going to be. And if maybe he misses this game, then maybe Randle gets a bump, but I'm still not really that keen. Donatas Motiejunas is providing nothing. Montrezl Harrell should be back from his suspension, so he won't be using him. And Terrence Jones, love an update whether he is still alive or not. At center, Dwight Howard, 6,400. Dwight against the Lakers, maybe anyone? Bueller? Probably not. He's averaging 39 the last three times he played the Lakers. 6,400, that looks super appealing. but he's averaging just 27 in his last five games in real life, and he's just not touching the ball enough. You might think that this narrative for Howard, you know, really works for him, and in that case, fine, but he's not someone that I'm overly interested in. The rest of the centres, well, we can say the same for them: Tariq Black, Roy Hibbert, and Robert Sacre. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers are up next. No spreads for any of these games released, by the way, at the moment. Let's look at the point guards. Tyler Ennis at 4,100. He's getting more and more trust from Jason Kidd. This matchup is fantastic for point guards going against the Sixers. He dropped 34 in the last game. 41 is not expensive. Yeah, 24, 25 points should not feel crazy for Tyler Ennis. Yeah, Kidd is really liking what he's doing, so I'm trusting Jason Kidd, which is really probably a bad move to do. Ish Smith is at 6,400. A nice game in the last one. 4,900. Fantastic. But this matchup is tough. He's very, very much up and down. He's a punt option only. Kendall Marshall, General Grievous Vasquez, they won't play enough minutes. Isaiah Cannon is out for the season, and TJ McConnell just doesn't get enough. That's enough stats. As simple as that. Shooting guard, Sauce Castillo dropped a big 33 in the last game. He's at 4,200, and he's averaging 21 across the last five, 24 across his last three. He's looking a little bit better, and with Cannon out, I would imagine he plays 30-plus minutes most of the way down the stretch here. So 4,200, it seems maybe expensive for a guy as bad as what Stauskas is, but he's putting together some decent performances, and that might be enough in DFS. You get 30 points out of a 4,200 guy. That's pretty impressive. That's over 7x value. Chrissy Middleton, unlikely to see him. I would think 7,200 is his salary. You know, don't think we'd see him. Rashad Vaughn, who has been playing a shit ton of minutes, he's at 3,700. One of these days, it's going to work out, and it sort of did in the last game. He had 24 points in 40 minutes, and at 3,700, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's enough to really pad out your numbers. So you know, look for Vaughn, who's looking a little bit better after being probably the worst rookie in the NBA for most of the season. He's looking a lot better. So at 3,700, he can fill out a roster spot, assuming Chris Middleton is out. He'll play 40 minutes again, most likely. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 9,700. Fine with using him. I think that 45 to 50 points shouldn't be too much of a stretch for Giannis, given the way that he's playing. It's the Sixers. Maybe they smash him, but their team's not good enough to really smash the Sixers. So I think we should get a pretty big night out of Giannis. Bob Cove has been impressive. He's at 6,600. It just feels like every time that Bob Cove's out there, his salary is bang on. And yes, he dropped 47 in the last game, and maybe with Cannon out, he just takes on more of a responsibility as well. At 6,600, though, it just feels like an investment that I'm not all that keen to make. It feels like the best I'm going to get out of him, and I know he can get more, is probably going to be 5.5x, which might be fine, and it might, but it rules him out of a tournament option for me. I feel relatively confident in a cash game that I'm going to get 35 or around that mark, and that's pretty good. Hollis Thompson is a hit and miss, as is Damian Inglis. Actually, Damian Inglis is miss and miss. The power forwards, Jeremy Grant at 5,000. Yeah, maybe. Nerlens Noel was great in the last game. 6,600 for Noel. Bucks bump is fantastic for big men. 6,600 feels a little expensive, but I don't hate using Nerlens Noel here. Jabari Parker at 65 has been a little bit off the boil. He's probably out of my player pool. Carl Landry, dealing with a sore back, may not see him again. Elton Brand, John Henson, and I doubt we see Rashawn Holmes again. Not much to love from any of those guys. At center, Greggy Monroe, 5,600 is down to now, so that's getting there, but he's averaging just 21 across his last three. He's only getting 25 minutes a game. He has been putrid over these last 3 to 4 months. Miles Plumlee was good in the last one, but I don't trust it. And Johnny O'Brien at minimum salary, not pushing my buttons. Utah and Denver is the next game that is up. The Denver Nuggets, we'll get to them in a second when we talk their big man. Very interesting to see what they're going to do. Let's look at the point guard situation first. Shelvin Mack has dropped down to 5,700 now. Does that interest you? Well, it should against Denver, but he has been poor. And with Alec Burks back, some of his touches, Burks didn't play much, but it's going to reduce some of Mack's touches. And at 5,700, I'm not massively keen on him. Emmanuel Mudiay had a big game in the last game. He's at 5,700 as well, and he dropped 36 in the last game. The matchup is terrible for Mudiay, so he's probably a pass for me. And DJ Augustine is averaging a minuscule 14 points across his last three games. And even at 4,400, he's probably not worth the risk against Utah. Shooting guards, Hood, Rod, 5,500. Love it here. It's a great matchup. He's averaging 31 already across his last three, and a 30-point performance should not be seen as a surprise. Will Barton, have you got the stomach for it? He's at 5,000. It could be up, could be down. It's most likely going to be down against this Jazz team. You might get 20 points out of him. 5,000,
I don't mind it in a tournament, but I wouldn't be expecting high returns on him. Gaz Harris is at 5,000 as well. Yeah, probably not. And Alec Burks, nah, the minutes are just not going to be there for him at this point. Let's look at the small forwards. Gordy Haywood is at 7,000. I'm okay with Gordy. I think that's a really good matchup for him. He had a casual 42 in the last game. 35 should not feel like a crazy amount for him to acquire. Love him there. Joe Ingles, Jakar Sampson, Axel Toupin. Actually, Sampson's an interesting player. He's at 3,800. He's averaging 21.5 across his last three. And if Ken Faried sits as I expect him to, I think Sampson gets minutes in the mid-20s and maybe puts up numbers. And for a guy that I have ruled as the worst player in the NBA for the last couple of seasons, it's big for me to say that I'd consider him. Speaking of the worst player in the NBA, complete side note, Tony Roten had an article come out today saying that he fully expects to be the Knicks' starting point guard next season. If you are a Knicks supporter, this is just another in a long line of things that I do feel sorry for you for. Pairing him with Kristaps Porzingis under Kurt Rambis is as horrific a matchup and pairing and grouping as I can imagine. I feel extraordinarily sorry for Knicks fans. It is just brutal. Rambis has to go. Roten, seriously, he is the worst player in the NBA. Let's go to the power forwards. Ken Faried. He's dealing with a whole selection of injuries, and he probably wants to get, well, not probably, he wants to get himself fit and healthy for Team USA Basketball. And if he makes the USA Basketball team, I will be staggered. But he thinks he's a chance, so he's going to be taking some time off. I imagine that he won't play, and that'll open up some minutes for a couple of the other big men, which I really want to see that combo work as well. Derek Favors at 6,700 has been okay, but not really 6,700 worthy, but I think this matchup is good enough to consider him. Jarrell Arthur also dealing with a knee complaint. Unlikely we see him play. Trev Booker, Trey Lyles, they need an injury in front of them to really become useful. The two guys I'm looking at are the centers for the Nuggets. Yusuf Nurkic at 4,700, just 39 points in the last game, that's it. Averaging 29 across his last five. He will probably start next to Nikola Jokic. They want to see that combo work. Play him 30 minutes, let it run out. Love Nurkic at 47. Jokic at 6,000, equally in love with him. He dropped 36 in that last game. He's averaging 28.5 over the last five games, which is not quite as good as Nurkic, but we know what Jokic can do completely across the board. I want to see them just run these two out there, play them 34 minutes each, play them next to each other, see if it can work out. I'm of the opinion that maybe it can for short stretches, and even if it's for 10-15 minutes a game, that's enough to get these guys on the court for enough to make them both really valuable fantasy guys. So I think that both of these guys should be in play. Rudy Gobert at 5,700. That salary is mighty tempting. Now, he's been bad. He's averaging just 21 across the last three, but the last three times he's played the Nuggets, he's at 33 points, and they are horrific against big men usually. So Gobert is someone who is in play to me. Orlando and Miami, the next game that's up for us to consider. Let's look at the point guards for this one. Vic Oladipo, unlikely we see him for the rest of the season with a concussion. He's not a point guard, but I just thought I'd mention that because I want to talk Lord Alfred Payton, who, when Vic Oladipo is out, tends to put up better numbers. 34 points for him in the last one at 6,000. I reckon that another 30 should not be out of the question for Payton as that mid-priced point guard. He's averaging 31 his last three against Miami, so the defensive numbers that the Heat put up haven't really fazed him too much. And without Oladipo, I think that he should be a real interesting guy to look at. Goran Dragic at 6,800. I would rather spend 8,000 less, I'd rather spend 800 less and take Payton than Dragic. Now, Dragic has been okay. He's averaging 30 points over his last five, but not enough to get me too excited. Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson, Shabazz Napier, no love there. And Briante Weber has been signed by the Heat for three seasons, which seems an odd amount. He might play a few minutes. He won't be enough for fantasy. Shooting guards. With Oladipo out, obviously someone will jump into that position. It'll be most likely Mario Hezonja. He's listed as a small forward, though. Let's look at the Heat's shooting guards. Dwayne Wade's at 7,200. Without Oladipo and a price drop from Dwayne Wade, he becomes a very interesting guy to look at for me. Not massively keen on it, but the Heat need to still keep winning, so 7,200 is okay. Joshy Rich, 4,600. Dropped 28 in the last game, but hasn't really been able to do that in most games. Probably a pass here for me, and Gerald Green just doesn't get enough minutes. Small forwards, Hezonja, minimum salary, love it. I think that he is absolutely worth a look. And even if he only gets you 23, 24, 25 points, it's a win at 3,500. He's going to play 30 minutes, assuming Skiles doesn't pull some sort of bullshit out of his ass. He can do it. I'm a fan here. And I am a fan of Evan Fournier. Now, his salary has risen by 400. He's up to 5,700, but that is so far from being prohibitive. He's averaging 32 across the last three, just a 46er in the last game with Oladipo out. He's going to handle the ball more. He's going to take more of an Oladipo role. I think at 5,700, he's absolutely in play. The two Heat guys, Justice Winslow and Joey Johnson. Johnson at 4,800, maybe a tournament play, but it's pretty low return, I would imagine. Power forward Luol Deng at 6,100, just not getting quite to that level. Andrew Nicholson, I've been big on him until Scott Skiles decided we're just not going to play him anymore for one game. Completely bizarre. Nicholson's been averaging over 2 points, two fantasy points per minute over his last five games. It's tremendous at 4,300. He gets 20 minutes. You're talking about some pretty decent scoring. And when I said he's averaging two fantasy points per minute, that is completely incorrect. I don't know what I was looking at, but he's averaging over one fantasy point per minute. At 4,300, he'd be okay, but no can trust Scotty Skiles. Aaron Gordon, unlikely to play the rest of the season as well. Ersan Ilyasova replaced him in the last game and put up a nice 11-point game, and by nice, I mean terrible. Jason Smith got a few blocks, but really just risky to play any of these big men from the Orlando Magic. Speaking of big men, Hasan Whiteside and Nikola Vucevic are definite good options here. 8,500 for Whiteside. Love that here. 40 points shouldn't feel that excessive. And 8,100 for Vucevic. 40 points shouldn't feel that excessive. He's averaging 42 across his last three. Both of these guys are absolutely in play. There is so many centers that are worth looking at. I've already gone through Yusuf Nurkic, Nikola Jokic, Whiteside and Vucevic. Four centers who I could absolutely see fitting onto a roster and turning in some nice numbers. Let's look at the next game, which is the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers need this one to clinch themselves a playoff spot. I don't imagine it'll be too huff. I'm really struggling with my words today. 4,600 for Shane Larkin. The salary is not crazy. He only had 18 in the last game, but his average is 25 over his last five. It feels like it's almost about right for Larkin, but I still think that you can use him and get away with it. Georgie Hill is at 4,500. This is how George Hill's season's gone. He is priced less than Shane Larkin. He is not getting anywhere close to that, averaging just 17 points. I recommended dropping George Hill from standard leagues about 3 months ago, maybe two. He's been terrible. Ty Lawson, if George Hill has been terrible, I'm not sure what I'd say for Ty Lawson's season. At shooting guard, Monte Ellis, 6,100. It's just too expensive. He's just not getting anywhere near that sort of number. He had one 30-point game in his last five, but he's averaging just 23. Not enough. It is a good matchup, and he could go off. Maybe a tournament. That's it. Wayne Ellington, Markel Brown, Sean Kilpatrick, no love for any of those guys. The Pacers are really good defensively against shooting guards. You could throw them all into tournaments because they're priced at 37 or 3,800, but no love for me anywhere else. And Solomon Hill, who's got a good matchup here. He's played big minutes in the last couple of games, but it doesn't translate into big numbers. He did have a 27-point performance, but it feels fluky, so he's not someone that I'm really all that keen on. Same with Mighty Joe Young or Rod Stuckey. Small forwards, Paulie George. He does struggle against some bad teams at times. He's at 8,500. If you've got a few cheap options in, then Paul George at 8,500 should be fine. You should be able to get 40 out of him, I would imagine. He's only averaging 37 points across his last five, which is a little bit disappointing, and only averaging 36 the last three times he's taken on the Nets. But he has tremendous upside, obviously, for tournaments. CJ Miles is not someone I'm interested in. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, we can go ditto. And Bojan Bogdanovic has been bad, bad, bad. Power forwards. Where's the value here? Well, it comes from Tom Robinson. Now, he's at 6,700, which might go, you know what, that's pretty big. It's pretty expensive. And yes, it is. You're right. But Robinson's averaging 35 points across his last three. It feels like nothing is going to stop him from grabbing big double-digit rebounds. You get lucky and get a couple of blocks and have a 17-point scoring night, then you're sweet. You're fine at 6,700. He's not a must-play guy, but I think that when you're looking for some mid-range power forwards, he's one of them there. Miles Turner's been bad. He's at 4,900. He can go big. It's a good matchup. Maybe we look at him as a tournament play, but I'm not massively interested. Chris McCullough's a guy that I am interested in at 4,100. I would look at him in a tournament. He started the last game. I really want to see that happen. Again, I want to see them give him 30 minutes, and this could be the game for it. They're sort of working him into a bigger role, and he's producing okay. I think that Chris McCullough is a really contrarian play. But yeah, things are trending in the right direction for McCullough, so I'm okay with it. Also, I want to see Rakeem Christmas play. Come on, Christmas and Dujan. Dukan and Christmas. We need to get them in a game. Centers, Jan Mahinmi, 5,100. Really good matchup for him. The production's been a little bit off, but I'm still fine with using him. Henry Sims, not as a starter, not getting big enough minutes, no thanks. The next game, the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento, I've said that twice this season, the San Antonio Spurs, not Sacramento. Two records on the line here. The Warriors can tie the all-time wins record. The Spurs can set the all-time home wins record by going 41-0. No one from the Spurs is resting, apparently. The Warriors might be resting Livingston, Iguodala, and or Barbosa. We don't know that yet. Tough, though, for a fantasy point of view. Steph Curry at 10,500. His last three against the Spurs have given you 44 points, which is pretty bloody good. But at 10,500, you want 54 points. You don't want 44. So I don't think I'd be using him here, especially at home. Tone Parker, he's been marginalized lately. Patty Mills not doing enough. Livingston, Miller, no real love for those guys. Shooting guards, Manu at 3,700. Danny Green at 3,900 is a tournament play always. And Klay Thompson at 7,000. He hasn't been great against the Spurs, and by not great, I mean averaging 22.5 points across his last three. That is not good. Barbosa, Martin, Rush, Clark, Simmons, they're not going to have much of an impact, I wouldn't have thought. Kawhi Leonard is at 8,400. He has not also, himself, has not been good against the Warriors, averaging just 32 in the three games this season, and 8,400, you want better. He is averaging 40 points across his last five, but this matchup is not screaming out that I want to use him. Same with Harry Barnes. He's going to have Kawhi on him. Forget about that. Kyle Anderson needs an injury, and Andre Iguodala may not even play. All in all, I think you're going to see the trend is most of these guys are not worth using. But with Boris Diaw out, we look at the power forwards. Dave West is at 4,100. He is averaging 25 points across his last five. He could be in line for 25 minutes and could put up some decent numbers. Now, the salary has risen $500, which is a bit of a pain in the ass, but I am okay with if you're getting a small-priced power forward in, West is a good option to go for. And I think he'd be a little contrarian too. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's struggled against the Warriors. 24 points in the last three against them. No for me. And Draymond at 8,900. Much rather Draymond than LaMarcus Aldridge. He's a 45-point average across his last five, 35 in the last three against the Spurs. Overall, I'm just not keen on many of these guys, to be honest. At center, Timmy Duncan has been unplayable, basically, the couple of times they've played the Spurs or the Warriors so far. Andy Bogut had been great before this game, but then had a rest. Don't imagine using him. Festus Ezeli, Boban Marjanovic, Anderson Varejao. Overall, that game is not having a massive amount of DFS value. The last game is the New York Knicks and the Toronto Raptors. Let's start at the point guards. Unlikely we see Kyle Lowry back. Unlikely we see Jose Calderon, and DeLon Wright has already been ruled out of this one, so that's a bummer for DeLon Wright fans like myself. I like Jerian Grant at 4,000. They did give him 30 minutes in the last game, and he responded with 30 points. It's exactly what we want to see. At 4,000, you just want him to go for over 20, and I'm pretty confident that he can get over 20. Corey Joseph at 4,000, big game in the last one. Don't trust it when Lowry's back. And 7,800 for Lowry, as cheap as he's been in a long time. His last three against the Knicks, he's averaging 50 points. Do I think he gets 50? No, I don't. The Raptors are basically locked into a top two, so they are locked into a top two seed. They might limit some of his playing time, so it is a risk. And this is goes for all the NBA over these last couple of days. Limit your exposure in DFS, I think, unless there's just brainless people could see these plays. And hey, a lot of them are brainless. Have a look at them and go, these are no-brainers. I need to play this guy. But there's a lot of risk associated at playing at this time of the year. At shooting guard, this might be my more disgusting picks of the year, but Sasha Vujicic is at $4,000. Kurt Rambis is just a massive, massive bell end. But it's working for Vujicic. Not working for the future of anything, but Vujicic is averaging 28 points across his last three. He's playing 30 minutes inexplicably across those last three games. He's at $4,000. The matchup is great at the moment. The Raptors are allowing shooting guards to put up a lot of numbers. With Calderon out, he's going to get some extra playing time as well, handling the ball some. I think that you get 25 points out of Vujicic, and it shouldn't be hard to use him. Langston Galloway is another guy I look at. He's more of a tournament play, but it's a good matchup. He's at 3,900. I like using him as well. Aaron Aflalo, I don't think I'll ever say I like using him, so we can leave him out of it. Normie Powell at 4,400. Massive game in the last one, but With DeMar DeRozan back, not going to be so keen on using him. And speaking of DeRozan at 7,900, the same situation that befalls Kyle Lowry befalls DeRozan. Will he play enough to be valuable? And 7,900 is a pretty big investment. Not overly interested in using DeRozan in this one. Same goes with Terrence Ross. Obviously, he's bad. That's why. Small forwards, Melo, 8,300. 25 minutes, most likely. 8,300, not worth it. Thank you. Cleanthony Early won't produce. Damari Carroll, not enough minutes. Jim Johnson, Bruno Caboclo, I don't think so. Let's look at the power forwards.
Percentages.
He is doubtful, so let's look to Derek Williams, who's at 4,600. That salary is making it a little bit tougher to use him. He is averaging 25 across the last three, but it feels like you use him in a negative matchup, and he's not going to get 30 minutes. What do you get? 5X maybe? I think he's an okay ad, but not the best. Luis Scola has been ruled out due to rest, so Pat and Jason Thompson get some extra run, and Thompson at 3,600 is definitely someone I'd be okay with throwing into a tournament. He dropped 21 in the last game in 22 minutes, and he can be that guy that gets you 20 points in 20 minutes occasionally. Don't love it, but there's something there. Let's look at the centers. I don't imagine that Jonas Valanciunas plays his full allotment of minutes. He's only averaging 24 across the last three, so 5,800 makes it tough to use him. Robin Lopez, 6,200, smashing it lately. I think that he is definitely an okay guy to look at. The salary's risen, but he's averaging 38 across his last three, putting up some big numbers. It probably means he's due for a stinker, but I think he's an okay guy to use. Kyle Quinn, Bismack Biyombo, Bebe Noguera. No interest. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Tyler Ennis, 41. Lord Alfred Payton, 6,000. And Kemba Walker, 8,000. The shooting guard, Sasha Vujicic, 4,000. Oh, yuck. Rod Hood, 5,500. And Jim Harden, 10,600. Small forwards, Mario Hezonja, 35. Trev Ariza, 58. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, 97. Power forwards, Dave West, 41. Tom Robinson, 67. And I don't like any of the high-priced power forwards on Sunday's slate. And the centers, Yusuf Nurkic, 47, Nikola Jokic, 6,000, and Hassan Whiteside, 8,500. We are done today, guys. Good luck with your DFS lineup. Good luck with your seasonal league that is still going. Good luck with your trades in your dynasty leagues. If you need any assistance with those, you know where to find me on Twitter. Of course, check out Loot Crate, today's sponsor, at lootcrate.com/redrock, and use that Redrock coupon code for $3 off. Find me on Twitter, redrock_bball. Same on Instagram. There's the Facebook page. Check out Basketball Monster's Twitter account, which is at BaskMonster, for all the late-breaking news updates. And, of course, check out the site for all our updated projections when those things do happen. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Maybe. Try again. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.